Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him, Dr. Joel Schultz. He's on the show, retired police chief. Thank you so much for being on the show, doctor. Also, a shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, and yes, we're on satellite radio, thanks to them, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor, gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, mymedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're streaming to about 1.5 million people right now. Twobells.com, they built a new online store at leoroundtable.com, and also fishorlandobass.com, the bass fishing charter out of Orlando. Drop the wife and the kids or grandkids off at Disney and head over, hook up with Zach at Fish Orlando Bass, do bass fishing, or he's got alligator hunting too. Catch and release. It's or I should say catch and relocate. You can't take it home with you though. So yeah, get that thought out of your mind, Chief Schultz. You can't take the baby alligator home. We've also got Brian Burns with the Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Joel. See, you got me off my game already, Chief. We got Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also we've got Travis Yates. And that is with lawofficer.com. So thanks to all those entities allowing the show to happen. Chief Schultz, did you have a weigh-in on the alligator hunting?
Well, you know, we spent a week in Orlando, just got back from there.
You did?
Yeah, this week. And all we saw were these little leaping lizards, the skinks. We didn't see any alligators, but the place was literally crawling with those little lizards.
So skinks, different than skanks. But skinks, yeah. Skinks are like half snake, half lizard. Isn't that kind of the appearance they have? And they're like usually dark, or they're black, or maybe a deep blue. It's really, they're beautiful in color, but can't they be poisonous as well, I believe? Or,
well, I did a little Google research on them because I wondered that, and I don't think they're venomous, but they are kind of scary because all the lizards that I've known of will run away from you, but these guys, you know, you just expect that they're gonna grab your face like some kind of sci-fi wicked movie character. I'm not saying I'm afraid of small lizards. That's not what I'm saying. But we didn't see any crocodiles or alligators.
I described them because people listen to the show. They don't live in Florida. They have no idea what we're talking about, and they're just thinking it's like just some like little lizard. And they're not. They're not. Let's start off. Let me whet the appetite and just kind of let you guys know what we're going to be discussing. We got the update on the Charlie Cook, Kirk assassination, arrest and the aftermath that we're going to be talking about first. We've also got New York City stiffing 9/11, 911 widows and orphans of critical medical payments, according to the union. We've got an unbelievable shooting that happened from Bay County. Guys, this is going to be a video that you're absolutely going to have to watch. It's incredible. Then we got the mayor in Illinois telling CNN that he turned off public safety cameras because ICE is coming to town. He didn't want to do anything to benefit them, which is it's a public safety concern. So he's screwing the cops and public safety workers by doing that. St. John's County deputy shoot and kill a guy holding the gun after a neighbor reported suspicious person. We got a sheriff's office forced to release a man from jail because of competency laws, and that's a mental health issue. We got L.A. sheriff deputies fatally shoot a suspect who charges at them with two knives. And guys, that's all I got because I don't even think we're going to have time to get to all those. So look, let's start off with the most important story that we're going to be talking about. I suspect that we'll end up dedicating over half the show to this. The Charlie Kirk, we got him. So the suspect in the Charlie Kirk assassination, he's been identified. He's 22 years old. I am not going to say his name on the show. That's what they want, and we're not going to give in. He is in custody. President Donald Trump went on Fox and Friends this morning and hinted that. He said, I have pretty good, pretty solid information that we think we've got him. And it looks like they have. And he was turned in by family and friends. Another one, FBI details a confession and evidence in the assassination as well. So nothing can undo the horrible events that happened during the assassination. you know, on the 10th, and justice. Chief Schultz.
Well, this whole week, you know, we had another shooting in our state. Of course, the 9/11 remembrance and Kirk assassination. These kinds of things will either soften us or harden us. And I hope that there's the right combination of both that'll cause us to turn ourselves inward a little bit and ask if we're contributing to the atmosphere of division and hate, and yet strengthen our resolve to stand for the truth regardless. You know, it works in subtle ways. I have to admit, and I'm ashamed to admit it, I've been a member of the NRA for a long time, but I don't put my NRA sticker on my pickup truck because, you know, it could cause a rock to go through the window or imperil some guest that I might have in the vehicle. I was also given a little sticker a couple of years ago that says I identify as non-Bidenary. Which is
wow,
which is funny, but I wouldn't, you know, I didn't dare. So, you know, when it seeps into everyday life of people like me who have stood on the front line and stood for principle and have received death threats because of the stances that I've taken, that's really scary. The other thing, and we can talk about this as much or a little as you want, is the psychology of this killer, to engrave the bullets, seemingly knowing that they're going to be found, to boast about it. He couldn't stop talking about it because he did release some information to friends or family. I don't remember. I was just watching the update before I tuned in here. I am a little surprised. There are two things. One is the, you know, in retrospect, we could all say this, but as a campus police chief, I wondered about the lack of security, and this thing probably could not have been prevented. You've got somebody on a roof 200 yards away with a scope. But I would be surprised if the campus chief keeps his job, because something's going to roll downhill and they're going to try to find some accountability. It's just fascinating and the other thing is, I thought that this guy might end up committing suicide, as many shooters do. And I kind of postulated with my wife as we were talking this back and forth, that it's probably a 50% chance that he'll be found with a self-inflicted wound. But since he wasn't, my assumption out of that, and it's just an assumption, is that he wanted credit for this. And, you know, not saying his name acknowledges that's one of the things that he would like to achieve, is some level of fame.
Yeah, I totally agree. We can name him Loser, maybe. That might be more, you know, adequate name to assign him, but...
You know, and it's kind of, we talked about this a little bit when we talked about the Minnesota school shooting. You know, at one point when he said, well, this guy must be nuts. You've got to be crazy to do something like that. No, not necessarily. It's not entirely an irrational act. And this guy obviously put some planning into it. I will be interested in seeing what's on his digital history. Did you notice when he came down off of the, I assume you've probably seen all the videos, when he came down off the roof, he did one of those kind of spider drops that the SWAT guys do, you know, yeah, to kind of hang on and make the drop lower instead of just dropping down from two.
That's what told me he was younger than me. when he did that. Yeah.
I did that same thing trying to get off the weight bench today. So I think you'll probably find a bunch of paramilitary stuff. I think it's telling to the stuff that he etched on the cartridges, the three arrow thing that probably harkens back to the Socialist Party that was against the Nazis in the late 1930s in Germany, and some kind of kind of disrespectful, I got you messages on those cartridges. Just a, we all want to know who this guy is. And I think we'll find that it's disturbingly familiar with all too many people.
You know, we've got seconds before we take our first commercial break, but there's a number of us who wish this guy was dead. We wish we would have volunteered the bullet to put this guy out of human existence. But there are advantages to having a guy like this under lock and key and getting in his head and finding out how he justified in his own mind, you know, what he did. So I pray that some good comes out of that and that we learn something so that we can prevent something like this from again, from happening again. Guys, it's time for first commercial break. Stick with us. We're not going anywhere. It's going to get a lot better. Here we go. All right, guys, time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And I know the chief loves them. I just got a cool pair of Danner boots that are waterproof from them. And they have gift cards. And we give away a couple every week on the show. And you can hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friend. So if you haven't checked out Gauls lately, please go there today, Gauls.com. They have everything but guns and ammo. Again, that is Gauls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Comply Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And guys, stay tuned for this. So in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, they provide advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer four-hour fentanyl protection and saline protection, too. Plus, they give you peace of mind in high-risk environments. And we're not done. Their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue the kill for up to 28 days, ensuring that you always are protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And look, we are talking about the arrest and the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination. And, you know, even during the commercial break, I was mentioning to the chief here how impressed I was with the Utah governor. And now I know why they gave him the microphone. And this morning, you know, Kash Patel weighed in, but only, you know, the governor really, really stole the show, and he provided some good perspectives on how to process this. And Chief Schultz and I, you know, there's a lot of people watching the show. There's a lot of range of emotions. I tell you, the governor said it, and I experienced it, and I suspect most people listening or watching the show did too. A mixture of hate and sadness, just a multiple emotions you're experiencing almost at the same time. You know, you're angry and just like mad and just like, I mean, just you want vengeance, accountability, and you want justice. And then you see his beautiful wife and how careful they are not to show the kids' faces in the pictures. And he's very protective of his family and just a beautiful family, and he's what, 31 years old. I mean, it's just and he's accomplished so much, and he found a Turning Point USA at 18, and he's only 31, and just, you know, you don't know why the good Lord, why things happen the way they do. God's got a plan. You have to believe that, at least in my opinion. That's how I get through life, and you just have to trust the power above you, God, that you know He does have a plan and things will work out, but you do. That human component, you have to have compassion for the family. And then, of course, as a police officer, you should learn, and I think most cops do, how precious life is. It really is an extremely precious thing. Not everybody gets it. Obviously, our killer did not. And and that's a conversation to have. But Chief, there are some articles that I want to go through. So if there's something you want to say now, or I could go through the next category if you wanted.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Well, guys, look, this is what I decided to do. I adjusted the topic this morning because, you know, this morning we found out that they had captured the killer. So I took some stuff out. There's been so many things in the news cycle, but I think it's important, and I think we can learn from this, and this will help process. So I just covered the category that I said we got him. So that is the best news out of all this. Everything else pretty much sucks. But we've got what I'm calling now the deep article. So we got some articles in the press. The Charlie Kirk assassination, more than just murder. I totally agree, and it's assault on our First Amendment. And if we lose that, we can get nothing done. It says the law makes distinctions between killings, and there's a recent political assassination deserves a special circle of hell, is what our author Matthew Cooper said. And then Charlie Kirk's assassination is a turning point for America, and that was written by Bob Wasinger. And then we've got "You Woke Us the Effing Up." That is our own Greg Gutfeld, and he lost it after the assassination. And then we had some individual weigh-ins from President Trump saying that Kirk was a martyr for truth and freedom, and Mike Jenkins, Trump to award the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Charlie Kirk. And Vance mourns a pivotal ally. And then also "Our Hearts Are Shattered, Charlie Kirk Murder Sends Shockwaves Through the White House and the GOP. And then even Megyn Kelly, Charlie Kirk, his extraordinary life and his legacy. So we had some really important weigh-ins. Tim Haines, regarding the assassination, Charlie Kirk, "I consider Charlie Kirk a friend and spiritual mentor. Please don't jump to conclusions." And the next categories I have are titled hate, and then we've got one actually called the blame game. So listen to some of the stuff that's been going on in the news. MSNBC analyst sparks outrage after saying Charlie Kirk's hateful words led to hateful actions. And then we've got MSNBC apologizes for Matthew Dowd's insensitive comments on Charlie Kirk assassination. And then MSNBC fires analyst Matthew Dowd after disgusting comments on Charlie Kirk assassination. And most of this information is coming from the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com, by the way. And we got Florida Democrat faces outrage after mocking Charlie Kirk's assassination in a vile post. Palmetto Bay Council member Steve Cody under fire for a social media post that referenced Kirk's death and faith, drawing condemnation from the Florida GOP. University of Michigan professor, "Charlie Kirk's assassination is the solution to violent rhetoric." Wow, you got to be kidding me. Dems reject Kirk tribute. Anna Paulina Luna explodes. You effing own this. And that was when they tried to do a remembrance of prayer for Kirk on the floor, on the House floor. We got stand-up comic disgustingly mocks Charlie Kirk's assassination in an online post. And then TMZ apologizes after staff laughter erupts during coverage of Charlie Kirk's death. Can you believe that? And then just lastly here, we've got the blame game. Florida GOP blames left's reckless rhetoric for Charlie Kirk's assassination. Although it starts off with the Florida GOP, listen to this. State GOP chairman says a climate of political violence has led to tragedy as President Trump orders flags lowered to honor the conservative activists. And then the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker, blames. Now, this is the same governor that doesn't want Trump to come in Chicago, right? He blames Trump's rhetoric for Charlie Kirk's assassination. And then Rep. AOC places blame on the Second Amendment supporters for Charlie Kirk's assassination. And then finally, Democrats deny prayer for slain conservative activists in a divisive House session, which is what I just mentioned earlier. So those are the titles. We've got about a minute and a half before we go to our next commercial break. Chief Schultz.
I was 13 at a friend's house when the funeral of Martin Luther King was televised. And my friend's mom, this in Southern Missouri, was mad that the funeral preempted her soap opera. And she said jokingly that James Earl Ray was arrested for shooting Coon out of season. You know, we look back on that and we think how unbelievably insensitive and callous. But some of these comments that we're seeing today from people that should be much smarter than my friend's mother are of that same class and caliber. And even the ones that praise him and yet damn him faintly. You know, yeah, he was, it was sad, but he owned it or he caused it. And I would challenge anybody, you show me one thing that showed that Charlie Kirk was a hateful person or a racist person. He was not. He was very factual, very intellectual, and open to debate. So all these negative comments are just unconscionable.
I agree, Chief. Thank you. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because, sadly, for anything less, it's not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And, you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, and now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, meaning that you can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, that is AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. We've been talking about the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination and also the arrest of the assassin. And Dr. Schultz, final word. I mean, we just covered the blame game and the hatred and some of these, not some, I mean, they were just, I tell you, I must have captured 20 or 4 or 30 headlines that were just disturbing in reference to this. How do you process all this?
Well, for one thing, I think everybody that has been a spokesperson on television for these press conferences has praised the police. And I don't think, you know, unless you've been in one of these really big multi-agency operations, you don't know how difficult it is to keep everybody on the same page and focused and listen to those voices that say, hey, you know, we need to look at this. Nobody else is looking at it, but I think we need to look at this. Kash Patel said something this morning. He said, this is what happens when you let good cops do police work. And I thought that was so good. So, you know, again, this is an opportunity for America to be united or divided. And let's move forward with our better angels.
Yeah. And if I had to give any advice in conclusion to this, I would say I totally agree. I'm so impressed with the Utah governor, Kash Patel, talking about it. You know what? When he was speaking, I was thinking that they were sending the message to Governor Gavin Newsom in California that this is what happens when you cooperate with law. This is what we can do. Kash Patel was completely honest in saying we could not have done this with the cooperation that we got. But he praised the governor, the Utah governor, and who was spectacular. This guy is just amazing. But Kash, I can't even count the number. At least three times that I can think of that he gave so much credit to this governor for allowing them to come in there. And then President Trump for giving them the resources to get this job done. This is what the FBI, look, it's a sad situation, but this is what the FBI, this is back to their core, their roots, the value of the FBI and what they're so good at. And like you said, letting them, this is what they want to do. And so letting them do what they want to do and give them the resources and then letting them get their name back. This is, you know, to Charlie Kirk's family, this is secondary. They're lost a husband, a father. But I know they got that phone call before they went live on the media announcing the arrest of the perpetrator and stuff, and justice needs to be served. I'm glad to see that we've got some accountability for news anchors and people that are professors and stuff that are running their mouths loosely. And there needs to be accountability for that. I have cut off friends recently, who not only have a different way of opinion, but it's so radical or so venomous and so contagious to some people that I've had to cut them off. So sometimes in life, you've just got to, I guess where I'm going is there needs to be repercussions sometimes for things that people do and they say, and I'm not talking in the form of violence. Sometimes it's just disassociating yourself with people. You can still be an example, still be a testimony, but you don't have to be hanging out with these people. You are who you hang out with. Just like my mom used to tell me, you marry who you date, right? And there is truth to that. So let there be consequences. Let, you know, these people that are praising, there were people out that wanted to help this, this killer. They wanted to help fund him, hide him, assist him running from the police and stuff. There were some sick people out there, and there needs to be repercussions because we need to root that out of our society. There's some really bad people. Evil is there. There's a lot of evil guys when you're out there. If you're comfortable, care, we need more good guys with guns. And we need guys with your heads on your on the swivel that are aware of what's going on so that stuff like this cannot continue to happen. So final words, Chief? Or
Yeah, I don't know. I think you summed it up well. And again, for those idiots who were advocating defunding the police, if this isn't one of the final slaps in the face of the thinking that that got us to where we were within the last 3 or 4 years, I don't know what else would get their attention.
You know, the governor gave a good point. The governor gave a quote this morning saying that he took a quote from Charlie Kirk saying that, talking about forgiveness and forgiving people. And sometimes it's hard for people to do. It's hard for guys. It's hard for me to forgive certain people that have done certain things to me. But it was pretty interesting that he quoted Charlie Kirk saying something to the effect of, you know, it's important to forgive the people that have done bad things to you, and nothing annoys them more. And so I thought that that was pretty good, because it is absolutely the truth. You know, when you forgive, or if you're, when you're nice to people that do bad things to you, nothing does annoy them more. And plus it's biblical. Moving on, you know, if you don't mind, Chief, let's jump to video number one in Bay County. We've got the story. We got 5.5 minutes, so we should have time to cover it before our next commercial break. And oh, the Chief's got note. You have notes on this?
I made
this
notes.
Shooting? You made, oh gosh, we're
in, I study.
All right. Well, hopefully I'm not going to mess this up. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And look for people listening to the show audibly, podcast, radio station. We will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, and I'm telling you guys in advance, this is that video. Our live show is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time, you know, during the lunch hour. But we create a special version of this live show the very next day, Tuesday through Saturday. It comes out at 9 o'clock in the morning the very next day. And in that special version, the copy of the live show, producer Will he'll embed videos, that every video that we talk about, as we talk about it, he'll embed that into the show and put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. So it's arguably, it's not live, but it's arguably a better way to watch a show. Everything's right there. So on this one, the title is "A Man Who Was Threatening People with Weapons is Fatally Shot by Bay County Sheriff's Deputy."
Mr. Smith.
How do you know my name? I didn't give you my name.
I know you didn't.
You reached for your gun. It don't work.
Mr. Smith.
I'm not reaching for mine.
I know
reach
you're not.
Reach for yours.
Mr. Smith.
Reach for your gun.
Grab that by the strap and put it down, please.
Camera on. I don't see no red
light. It's on.
Sure.
Mr. Smith, do you know where you're at?
Yeah.
Where you at?
Bay County. I'm on Edith. No, I say, is this Edith Height? Nope.
It is not.
This is Carolina.
Okay. Can I take that off of you?
Huh?
Can I take that by the strap and get off of
you? You worried about it? You got a gun. You got two of them.
I know. You got two of them.
Why you want mine? So why you want just one?
Mr. Smith.
Hey, I'm telling you. You touched me, bro.
I
talked about
this
shit. Hey, one more. Grab it.
Don't you touch
it. Don't. No fear,
man. I got one at gunpoint.
No fear.
Put it down. Put it down. Bay, shots fired. Drop the gun! Drop it! I need code 3 now. I got shots fired.
Here we go. Bay County, Florida, my neck of the woods. Last week, a Bay County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed an armed man. He was allegedly threatening people with weapons. So on Wednesday, the sheriff's office released the body cam video. It shows this whole episode, how it unfolded, and the split-second decision that the deputy faced. So early in the morning on September the 3rd, Bay County 911 dispatchers received several calls about an armed guy in Fountain. Now, moments later, a Bay County Sheriff's deputy confronts this 45-year-old bad guy named Justin Chandler Smith. Now, Bay County Sheriff's Office officials released the deputy's body cam video. It shows how he tried to disarm Smith. And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking verbally. But he said, hey, can I take that strap and get it off for you? So the guy has got a long gun strapped over his right shoulder, and he's got a pistol strapped in a holster on his left side. Just say that's the verb. That's the visual picture I'm giving you guys. And so the deputy's obviously uncomfortable. But when you start watching this, the guy's got an issue. Hey, you know, don't put your hand on your gun. On my hand, on my gun. It's almost like he wants to have like a drawing contest, you know, with the deputy and stuff. So the deputy asks me to take the strap off. The guy goes, hey, are you worried about it? And the deputy says, hey, I'm telling you, the Smith guy, he says, hey, you touched me, bro. Like, hey, don't touch me if you want this thing to go good. And in his agitated state, our bad guy reaches for the handgun. You know, let me jump, you know, at least some stuff out. There's one point where he reaches and he grabs the handgun with his left hand. I suspect that our bad guy's right-handed because when he actually did finally shoot at our cop or deputy, he transferred the gun to his right hand before he pulled the trigger. So he had an issue with drawing the gun. It looked to me like he was trying to draw it and he couldn't get out quick enough. Well, the deputy, it's a good thing because he would have had the draw on the deputy. The deputy, you can't tell in the body cam, but I'm telling you that our deputy was there and he had his hand on his gun. It was in the holster, but just in case he had the draw, in case this guy went for one of his two weapons. And so luckily the bad guy, when he goes to pull up and draw the gun on his hip, with his left hand, he wasn't able to get it out. And the deputy was able to pull his gun out. Now he's pointing at the bad guy. Bad guy backs away and he still got the rifle over the right side. And actually I said a rifle, when I looked at it, it ended up being a semi-automatic shotgun is what it ended up being, I believe. And so our bad guy ends up pulling out the gun, switches hands, and he fires first. He was able to do all this before the deputy got up a shot. He fires at the deputy. Deputy jumps back behind the hood of his car, and he starts firing. And one of the deputy's first shots goes through the hood of his own cruiser, and now you can't see the bad guy, but you still hear shots going off. It's kind of cool because, and I'm doing the rest of this from memory, our deputy runs along the other side of the cruiser, running back towards the trunk. Bad guy still firing towards the front of the cruiser, thinking the deputy's still there. Now the bad guy is apparently looks like he's been hit and he's down on the ground still firing. So our deputy comes around the trunk, gets a bead on the bad guy, and right when the bad guy sees our deputy has relocated himself, boom, the deputy, I won't say he puts him out of his misery because he's still shooting, but he shoots the bad guy again. Deputy comes around to the other side of the car. Now the bad guy's low, so he can still see the deputy's feet, I'm assuming. Deputy jumps on top of the hood, you know, right next to the bullet hole that the deputy put in there, and he goes over the top of the hood. You can't see the bad guy. You can't fully see him on the body cam, but the deputy puts him out of his misery on that exchange from being on top of the hood of his own cruiser. So bad guy dies at the scene, and the cop at multiple times goes out on radio calling for the cavalry and calling for backup. 45 seconds. Chief, you want to jump in here? I know you may not be able to get all your notes done, but we'll get this process started.
I think one of the lessons from this is we talk a lot about body language and pre-attack indicators. And this cat was so erratic. I don't think the deputy could have predicted anything based on this guy's attitude or verbiage, just that he was irrational. And I think the deputy could have taken a shot a little earlier at the first attempted holster draw. So there was always a little bit of luck involved in some of these things.
Guys, more to come on this. You don't want to miss it. Trust me, we'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett, and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, If you have your own agency, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity for the chiefs and the sheriffs out there. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that site is gunlearn.com. Check it out and check out the cool videos. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief, and we're talking about an incident that happened in Bay County, Florida, where a look, there's a 911 call, several 911 calls. We got a guy, suspicious person, carrying two guns. He's got a rifle and a, well, I say a rifle. It was a semi-automatic shotgun over in a sling over his right shoulder and a pistol on his hip and a holster on the left side of his hip. And our deputy shows up trying to talk the guy in the disarming. And there's some verbal verbiage going on between the two that the chief just started talking about. And our bad guy ultimately draws the pistol. The second time he went to draw for it, he actually pulls it out of the holster, switches hands, puts it in his right hand, takes the first shot at the deputy before there's an exchange of gunfire. So, Chief Schultz, break it down for us.
Well, I hope you're not going to make fun of the deputy for shooting into the hood of his own patrol car.
Not at all. I would have put at least one hole in that hood. He just started, you know, it's one of those things when you break leather. You know, you're pulling the trigger as soon as you break leather, and even though you're not sight on target yet, I don't fault them for that. You know, it's not like you're getting a shooting every day. So
no, yeah, you know, and when I transitioned from a six shooter to my 18 round Glock, I was so happy because I knew the first four rounds are going to be warning shots until I found the target. That's pretty. But this guy, he shoots from three different positions. So other than exposing himself kind of during the initial contact, he could have stayed behind the engine block a little bit more. But, you know, he was trying to establish rapport with this nutcase. And then his moving when the guy dropped out of sight after the first of the deputy's shots fired, then doing that tactical move where he could still maintain cover and get a new view on that guy, and then realizing he had to do another tactical move. I thought that was really great in terms of its effectiveness. You know, another lesson, and we learned this lesson so many times from these videos, is it takes a lot of bullets to kill people sometimes, or we can't say kill, to stop the threat, right?
We'll go ahead and say kill. We'll edit that out for you. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah. Blur it out. And so he just, you know, he had to evaluate and continue till he stopped the threat. And yet only fired seven rounds, if I remember from in the bad guy shot six. So it really was good shooting in terms of bullets on target. So we got to give kudos for that. You know, one of the dilemmas that officers have is when somebody is visibly armed and you ask them to disarm themselves, they necessarily have to put hands on their own weapons, which is like, okay, which way is this going to go? Because one of the things, and we're not going to get to it today, but there was that really brief video that you thought we might talk about today, where the guy throws down his weapons and then goes back to get him, because it's not unusual to have a false surrender scenario where the bad guy's intent is to get the officer to slow down a little bit and think things are okay, and then that person resumes the attack, and it's very difficult for the officer to get back into that combat mode after the release mode. So you'd never be relieved. You can't feel relief even after they're cuffed and searched. You can't feel relief after they're in the patrol car. There always continues to be a threat. But in that moment when you say, would you lay your rifle down or your shotgun down, that was a reasonable request. It would have been a good way to get this person partly disarmed, but it also gives that person an opportunity to lay hands on the weapon. And, you know, if you put these things on a stopwatch, it's milliseconds between draw, fire, and response.
All right. I love it. So thanks so much for the commentary, Chief. Appreciate it. Now, we do have enough time to cover that video or to cover an update article, whichever you prefer.
What's your update? Is that the
so we have two updates to choose from. So we've got, well, we have the well, I want to hold on to the New York City one, Stiff and the Widows. I think Randy Sutton would be good to have on that. We have the mayor in Illinois turning off the public safety cameras in defiance of ICE. And then we've got the sheriff's office releasing a guy from jail because of competency law. He was ruled incompetent to stand trial. And so they don't have any mental health answers for this guy. They just cut him loose and release him back into society. Or we can do the guy that puts the weapon down and goes for it. Your choice, Chief. You're in charge.
I don't know. I guess we could choose one of the three circumstances where public safety got screwed, and you can choose any one of those. You know, we could save the New York thing for Randy.
All right.
This Illinois mayor who turned off the, I assume they were license plate reader cameras, where a lot of intelligence is right. gained. People have concerns about freedom, but if you're out driving around, anybody can write down your license plate. You know, we used to do that, go through motel parking lots, write down the license plates, call them in later or take them down to dispatch. And now you can do that. You just run a car that's equipped with a license plate reader through the parking lot. It's really no different. So the privacy concerns are present, but not crazy. But for the mayor to facilitate, and it, you know, if you're protecting lawful immigrants from harassment, or if you think you're doing that, there's some kind of moral high ground that you could claim. But when you know that there are people who are here illegally and you're facilitating that, that's accessory to a crime. And you're turning off the ability for federal agents to gain intel and locate some of these folks. And, you know, the thing about license plate readers, again, if the civilians don't know who are watching, it doesn't automatically show everything about you. It's just if you input a plate that you know is associated with some unlawful activity, a warrant or be on the lookout or a missing child or something, then the ALPR will hit. But it doesn't show, oh, there's Joel Schultz. He lives in Walsenburg. He just drove by. That's not what the ALPRs are about. And so there would have to have been some suspicious person or known vehicle associated with criminal activity to be input. And so this politician took that off the table for law enforcement, for the feds, as well as his own local law enforcement. And then to say, you know, if you're going to educate immigrants on their rights, I don't have any problem with that. But if you're going in there and you often see this, these YouTube lawyers that say how to get around the cop stuff, you know, everybody deserves their constitutional rights. But if you think you know what the cop is doing and you think you know what the cop knows when they interact with you, you don't. And some of this mm-hmm. advice, it can be lethal and cause unnecessary tension between the cops and the normal citizen, much less resistance that might occur with an illegal alien who's facing deportation or criminal charges. So absolutely irresponsible to facilitate the offenders that the feds are trying to catch up with.
Yeah, you're spot on. Just to give credit to the source, TampaFP.com, the Tampa Free Press is where it came from. Mayor in Illinois tells CNN that he turned off public safety cameras in defiance of ICE operations. You are right. They were license plate cameras or the LPRs, license plate readers. The mayor's name is Daniel Biss of Evanston, Illinois, who decided to do that in order to basically screw with ICE. So, and it's kind of funny. He's a mayor in Illinois, and we already heard from, I believe it was the governor that weighed in on the Charlie Kirk shooting. So not too impressed with Illinois right now. And, you know, we've got just a brief window of opportunity here. 9news.com, sheriff's office forced to release a man from jail because of competency law. And the short of it is 21-year-old bad guy charged with attempted second-degree murder released into the from the Weld County Jail on Monday. The court found competency could not be restored in the foreseeable future, according to the Weld County Sheriff's Office. And Ephraim DeBiso, he was arrested in April by the Greeley Police Department, suspicion of criminal attempt to commit second-degree murder, first-degree assault, serious bodily injury, and engaging in a riot. And he received additional charges. And anyhow, the no services available at the Colorado Mental Health Hospital in Pueblo, and he ended up being released into the public. Wow. 20 seconds.
yeah. If you're crazy, that's a get out of jail free card. I don't mean to disrespect the mental health situation, but this guy is dangerous. He will reoffend, and he needs to be behind a locked door somewhere.
Thank you, Chief. Another great show. And before I close it down, yeah, there is a mental health crisis in this country. I don't necessarily have all the answers to. I know that I've seen the change since the 80s in how we in mental health in the absence of mental health facilities like we used to have back in the 80s. And now we institutionalize in prisons instead of institutionalizing them where they need to be in mental health facilities. So that's sad. But a conversation for another day. Chief, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a great conversation. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue, that woundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they have the summit coming up as well. So guys, please check out supporting the Wounded Blue, that woundedblue.org. I want to mention our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you back next week on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.